Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to the Reasonable Voice radio show. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice. The mission of the Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal economic opportunity and justice for all without truth decay. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing both creative artists and political unity as solutions to our challenges.
Good afternoon and welcome to the radio show for Reasonable Voices. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando. Today my guest is Catherine Boughton, a former New York Times editor, and the author of Shouting Won't Help. Catherine's new book is titled Living Better with Hearing Loss. Catherine Boughton is a very popular blogger for the AARP Hearing Center, as she speaks with the wisdom of personal experience. For Catherine Boughton has experienced progressive bilateral hearing loss since she was in her 30s. And embracing that personal challenge, Catherine has become the leading American advocate for people with hearing loss. Good afternoon, Catherine Boughton, and welcome to the Reasonable Voices Radio.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here. I should mention that the subtitle of my new book, which really will give you a better idea of what it is.
Yes.
And what it includes, the subtitle is A Guide to Health, Happiness, Love, Sex, Friends, and hearing aids. It kind of includes a little bit of everything for everybody with any degree of hearing loss.
You know, I love titles that tell you everything that's going to be in the piece. It is a great pleasure for me to have you as a guest. I have spoken with people from AARP and various health issues guests, but this is the first for me, I think, to be speaking with someone, and we should explain that your hearing loss is still current. How are you hearing me today? How are we able to communicate? Let's give them the technology involved there.
Okay. So I have pretty severe hearing loss, and I am talking to you on a captioned telephone. It shows me your words with a slight lag. I can mostly hear you, but I use the captions to back up where I have missed something. And for instance, if you gave me a telephone number or an address, I would probably confuse the numbers because so many of them sound alike. Five sounds like
sure.
Nine to me. So the captions are really a great help with that and with any conversation. The captioned phone, I should say, also records my voicemail messages, so I can actually tell who's called and understand what they've said. This is a great to me. I just got it about a year ago.
Well, wonderful. I'm so glad. I'm glad you shared that with us because obviously most, I would assume, listening to today's show are not necessarily aware of that particular technology. And technology, we'll talk about in a bit, hasn't always been a good friend to hearing and our ability to hear, but we'll get into that. I wonder, first of all, could you explain exactly, I know this sounds like a stupid question or too obvious, but let's ask it anyway. What exactly is bilateral hearing loss?
Oh, well, actually, that's not that obvious. Bilateral means that it is on both sides, in both ears.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, my hearing loss was unilateral, which meant that it was only in one ear. In my case, it was my left ear.
Mm.
And since it's progressive, meaning that it gets worse as time goes by. It has begun to affect my right ear, and I now have a moderate to severe hearing loss in my right ear. And I've had severe hearing loss in my left ear for a good many years.
You know, I, as I listen to you, I'm remembering I have known people with unilateral hearing loss. Madeline Sherwood, for instance, who was the mother of the no-neck monsters in the film Tennessee Williams, what is it, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And having known her and traveled and with her on the QE2, et cetera, I'm walking those decks and having to walk on the correct side so she could hear me. I'm just all the more impressed that, you know, some people take a challenge like this and are not able to handle it. But you seem to not only have handled it, you're writing it and speaking and blogging so that others are able to be helped. We talked about, I mentioned the technology. We know how the increased tempo of our technological evolution, if you will, has affected major areas in American daily life and communication in particular. I'm concerned about that ability being lost, the art of conversation. But can you give us examples of how technology is affecting our hearing?
For the better, you mean?
Well, let's start with the better, and then we'll talk about some of the others.
Years that I have had hearing aids, which is, I've had hearing aids since 2002, so that's almost 15 years. The hearing aids themselves, the technology has vastly improved. You can, if you have mild to moderate hearing loss, you can basically get a hearing aid that will allow you to hear pretty much perfectly. Once the hearing loss gets a little more severe, you may need some extra devices to help you hear. In certain circumstances, for instance, the captured telephone.
Mm.
If you have a severe hearing loss like I do, you also can't hear very well at a distance.
Mm.
And so there's a new technology that's being installed too slowly because it's a great technology called looping, induction looping, that if I'm in a lecture or at a play that has where the venue has an induction loop, all I have to do is flip the switch on my hearing aid and my cochlear implant to what's called the telecoil mode, and I can hear pretty much almost perfectly.
Oh, wow.
There isn't any other kind of device that works at a distance like that for me. So those are two very important technologies for people. With the looping, basically, all the person with hearing loss needs is a hearing aid with a telecoil. You don't need anything else. Captioned telephone, you have to get. I bought mine, but a lot of places are will give them to you free with a doctor's note saying you have hearing loss.
Mm.
And then there are other assistive devices that you can use for one-on-one talking, for interviews, for eating dinner in a noisy restaurant with somebody. There's a lot of really good technology out there right now. As I like to say, it's a good time to be deaf. Well, not completely deaf, but to have serious hearing loss.
I think, well, I'm glad we can both laugh about that, I suppose. It's just a marvelous, character, personality, strength, courage that you bring to this. And I'm so glad you are writing about it, both at the AARP blogging, but also your books, and which I want to talk about at least in the second segment. I'm wondering, though, if we could shift to, because technology is, it sounds like you're saying, is solving a problem that in part technology has created. Things like headphones, which in radio, of course, I'm not wearing any right now, but I am aware and very sensitive to watching the volume and most of the time of how long a day I have on headphones. But cell phones, hair dryers, what about these dryers in the restrooms that are so super powerful now, and movie soundtracks in the theater, surround sound? Anyway, just take them one at a time, whatever your experience has been, what you think about them, what can we do to diminish their effect on our hearing?
Okay. Well, the with your ears to ring. And if that happens and you are exposing yourself to that kind of noise for an hour or 2 hours, your hearing may disappear for a little while, you know, 24 hours afterwards. This happened to me when I was young at a concert, although before I had hearing loss, it did not affect my hearing loss as far as I know. But so if you go to a loud concert, or you go to, if you happen to be lucky enough to have tickets to the Super Bowl, sitting in that decibel level of noise for the 3 or 4 hours is probably going to do permanent damage. You're going to walk out with your ears ringing. A little while later, your hearing will start to come back, but scientists now know that there is damage done to actually the tiny nerve fibers in the cells in the ear that transmit sound to the brain. Mm. And these become, they become much more vulnerable after this kind of noise assault, so that a further noise actually can more easily damage them. Aging can more easily damage them. So if you're going to be in a place, a football stadium or, you know, a concert, you should be wearing noise-canceling headphones. You'll notice that all the professionals do.
Yes.
I did a blog post on AARP at the time of the Super Bowl because the Seattle Seahawks stadium, you know, the Seahawks claim that the noise of the fans in the stadium is their 12th fan, and that's how they win. Their stadium noise has been recorded at 137.5 decibels, which was enough to cause a minor earthquake in Seattle.
Oh, my God.
You can imagine what that's doing to your hearing. So I would really suggest for anybody going to these kinds of things to wear noise-canceling headphones. But what you're talking about is more everyday noise.
Yes.
And I think we really just need to be conscious of it. There are certain circumstances where everyday noise is unavoidable. I think probably the hair dryer, unless you are, you know, work in a beauty salon, is a short enough exposure, even if you hear on a daily basis, that it's probably not going to harm your hearing. But if you work in a beauty salon, or if you work a lunchroom monitor in a middle school, or if you play in an orchestra, or any place where you're exposed to pretty continuous, fairly loud noise, it's really a good idea to use hearing protection. You obviously want to be able to hear what's going on around you, especially if you're the lunchroom monitor or a musician. And I just wrote about this last week in my AARP blog. I really recommend for those situations where it's too loud and you don't want to damage your hearing, but you do need to hear quieter sounds, what people say, or, you know, the music without the deafening parts of it. Musicians' earphones are very, very easy to buy on the internet, and they're very inexpensive. And the best of the manufacturers, which makes musicians' earphones for professionals, which cost about $300, also makes a variation for just anybody. And you can go on any website, Amazon, you know, I'm sure you can get them at Target, Costco, any place. And they cost about $13 to $15, and they really allow you to protect your hearing from those sort of constant mid-level loud noises and still function and hear everything going on around you. I think they're a wonderful invention.
I'm glad to hear you say that, especially, as I said, my concern for headphones. I don't sense any hearing loss, but I am aware that sometimes, poor Netflix isn't going to love this, but Netflix streaming has an inconsistency in its sound. I don't know what that's about, but I've checked, you know, other channels, other movies, whatever, certain sound levels or audio, whatever, is inconsistent only in some shows. So at the same time, when I switch to others to make certain it's not my ears, so far it's not my ears. But I am concerned about how long most days I have headphones on. And it's not loud, it's talking, as we're doing now, for the most part, news and talk shows that I, and editing and whatever. Before, I've heard from people that the time limit of extreme noise is only minutes, not hours. But you're saying it's not quite just minutes, but if you stay in the Super Bowl with loud cheering crowds, after the game is over, you could have permanent damage to your hearing? Is that what you said? Am I correct?
Yes, that is what researchers think. There is a researcher at NASA INR, which is part of Harvard, Sharon Kujawa, who's done a lot of research on this. And they have found, I mean, it's very technical, so I'm not going to use all the technical terms, but it's basically the part of the hair cell is what allows the normal ear to take sound that's coming in from the outside and translate it into signals that go to the brain. And if those hair cells are damaged by noise or by a lot of other things can damage hair cells, then they don't work anymore. Mm-hmm. And you don't hear anymore, or you don't hear certain frequencies at least. So what this very, very loud noise over a 3 or 4 hour period or more can do is it damages the synapses of those cells where they connect to the auditory nerve. And so that prevents the sound from being communicated from the hair cell to the brain and causes gaps in your hearing. It doesn't usually all go at once. It usually, like a lot of people with noise-related hearing loss and also age-related hearing loss, begin to lose their high-frequency hearing first. Mm-hmm. And that would be, you know what high frequencies are? A dog's bark is low frequency, at least a small dog. A big dog's bark is low frequency, and a chihuahua is a high-frequency sound. And so most people begin to lose their hearing in the high frequencies first, and that's also one reason that it's difficult to hear in a restaurant, because most voices are in the mid to high frequencies, and they're overwhelmed in those frequencies by all the background noise in a very loud restaurant. So.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you a little more in our second segment about the connection between the brain and hearing, although you certainly have anticipated that, it seems. But before we take a break, I want to be sure we have at least, where can one read your AARP blog? Do you have an address that takes us right to your blog for AARP?
Yes, if you go on AARP, I can give you the URL if you want.
Sure.
/AARPKBowden/ And but you can also just get it by going on AARP's website and going to their Hearing Resources Center, which is a big project that they're involved in right now to try and make people more aware of hearing loss. And my blog appears on that website. I write once a week. It goes up on Wednesdays. And that's the easiest way to get to it is through the AARP website and then go to the Hearing Resources Center.
And again, that's Boughton, Boughton. And let's go back before we take the break and give that full title again of your new book.
The new book is called Living Better with Hearing Loss. And the subtitle is A Guide to Health, Happiness, Love, Sex, Work, Friends, and Hearing Aids.
I love that. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Well, everyone, we've been talking to author, blogger, and tremendous personality, courageous character, Catherine Boughton, and we'll be right back. We're going to take a short break. Stay with us. There's more to talk about, including the connection between our brain and our hearing. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Sometimes children lie, but how can we tell? Many of the Danish films we love take on difficult subjects. They seem to watch without judgment, the better to observe humanity in all of its complexity. Perhaps that is why we love them. In The Hunt, Mads Mikkelsen uses his characteristic reserved charisma to play Lucas, a well-respected kindergarten teacher. Lucas's life is finally on the upswing after a difficult divorce and custody battle, and he has found a promising new relationship. But it will not last. Lucas gives his students needed attention. He guides them, comforts them, helps them grow. Perhaps his genuine warmth is the source of the accusation. A needy little girl craves more and tells a story of inappropriate attention from her favorite teacher. How would you react? Your friend is accused of child abuse. Other children share their stories. Crowd hysteria, or is it? Can we know? This is the story of the effect such an accusation has on one man, his friends, his family, and his community. As in life, guilt or innocence is blurred. It is this realistic lack of clarity within a beautiful package of filmmaking that brings special gravitas to this extraordinary film. The Hunt, not in theaters, discovery through rental.
Welcome back to the Reasonable Voices radio show. My guest today again is one of the more popular bloggers on AARP concerning hearing aids and hearing loss. The AARP Hearing Center is where you can find her blogs. Her name is Catherine Boughton, and Catherine is the leading American advocate for people with hearing loss, having endured and experienced her own bilateral progressive hearing loss since she was in her 30s. We have been talking about technology, both how it helps those with hearing loss and how some technology, some everyday technologies, including Super Bowl games and loud concerts, can diminish a person's hearing. So moving on from some of the technologies, let's talk about our hearing aids. I know you spoke to this earlier, but are hearing aids still as helpful? And how are hearing aids improving over the years? And I think you really sort of already answered that question. But I know there are a lot of people, including myself, whose experience with hearing aids are only what I saw my grandparents wearing when I was very young. But from what you've described earlier, hearing aids of any kind, it seemed to have come a long way. So the technology has become even more helpful. And I guess I'm reiterating that point because I want people hearing the show who are concerned about their hearing to know there is help and they shouldn't be embarrassed to seek it out. How's that? What are your thoughts?
Well, your grandfather's hearing aid does not exist anymore, either in appearance or in how well it functions. First of all, functionally, most hearing aids, well, all hearing aids now have multi-directional microphones, so you can hear all around you. They have much better speakers and connections. Some of them have all sorts of special features, like the telecoil that I mentioned earlier that allows you to connect with, it's actually originally designed for hearing better on the telephone, and it really does help with the telephone. You just switch this program on your hearing aid, and you can hear much more clearly on the phone for reasons that I won't explain. They're too complicated. But there are also all sorts of new designs of hearing aids, and they are all almost invisible, and most of them are actually invisible. I hate to promote invisibility because it suggests that there's something shameful about hearing loss, but a lot of people are concerned about visibility.
Exactly.
And they shouldn't be, because behind the hearing aids are tiny. A lot of them have a little loop that goes over the ear and then connects to a small kind of floating device inside the ear, which allows for very natural sounding speech. Those are called, well, I call them loose fit hearing aids. I don't think that's the correct term. If you have more severe hearing loss, like I do, you need an actual custom mold in your ear. But even my custom mold is tucked way down in my ear. I don't think anyone really understands that I wear a hearing aid, except when I tell them that I can't understand them. So hearing aids are great. They are, however, expensive. And this is another place where the field is really, really changing, I think, from pressure on a lot of different sources. First of all, as a lot of people know, Medicare does not pay for hearing aids or diagnostic hearing tests, which is absurd.
Unbelievable, yes. Unbelievable.
As an AARP survey showed, at age 65, 1 in 3 people has a hearing loss, and those hearing losses are only going to get worse as they get older. People in the workplace, 60% of people in the workplace, or 60% of people with hearing loss are still in the workforce or in an educational setting. So know, this is a lot of people who should really be getting hearing aids.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing aids, however, if you buy them from an independent audiologist, can easily go up to $3,000 per hearing aid.
Mm.
Now, there are alternatives. The big box stores sell hearing aids. You have to be very careful that they have audiologists on staff. Costco is one of the largest retailers of hearing aids in this country.
Mm.
They still, however, if you're getting a good hearing aid, they're going to cost you $1,500 per hearing aid, which is still a lot of money for people.
Mm.
I'm also a big supporter, and as is the Hearing Loss Association of America and some other consumer organizations, of other kinds of hearing devices. These are generally referred to as PSAPs,
yes.
PSAP, which stands for Personal Sound Amplification Programs. They're not hearing aids. They're not licensed as hearing aids by the FDA, but the good ones, and you do need to pay. You don't want to buy the cheapest because you're not going to get anything except a lot of noise in your ear. But you can get a very, very good PSAP if you have mild to moderate hearing loss, and mild to moderate hearing loss from aging or from noise exposure. These, can go from $500 to $750 maximum down to $300. They're still pretty good,
mm-hmm.
and that is considerably less than a hearing aid. You may need to get a hearing aid later on,
mm-hmm.
but it's a good starter unless you're already as hearing impaired as I am. But the other thing is that there are a lot of hearing aids now that, I think this is really a something we're going to see much more of, is hearing aids that can be programmed using a smartphone.
Hmm.
So you can buy, for instance, a hearing aid that's called a Made for iPhone hearing aid, and you adjust the volumes and the program and everything else on your smartphone looking
wow.
at it, which allows for a much more precise kind of, figuring out what's your maximal setting for your hearing loss. My hearing aid, I use the remote. Some hearing aids have dials on the hearing aid. These are both kind of difficult to use, but I think these ones that work with smartphones are really great. So, there's a lot of new technology out there that's really exciting, much more affordable. However, affordability is important, but I think most important is that Medicare recognized that they need to cover hearing aids, because
yes.
eventually people's hearing loss gets bad enough that they really do need a real hearing aid, and that expense is, it's going to put a big hole in your budget. So
it's so
think that that Medicare's refusal to cover hearing aids is kind of dismissive of the whole idea of hearing loss.
Yes.
I really think we need to take hearing loss seriously, and the fact that Medicare doesn't cover the things that will correct your hearing is just really shocking. Most people find it shocking the first time they hear it.
I am shocked, because after all, their primary mission is for those who are older. And if age is one of the many causes of hearing loss, and Medicare doesn't even cover it, I am shocked. I had no idea.
It's also very short-sighted, because untreated hearing loss has really measurable consequences.
Yes.
There are good studies that link depression and isolation to untreated hearing loss. Both depression and isolation are strongly linked to cognitive decline, dementia.
Yes.
Hearing loss itself, untreated, has been linked at least statistically with earlier and more severe dementia.
Yes.
There are studies from the National Institute on Aging that shows that untreated hearing loss is associated with a greater risk of falls, which of course
yes.
are really dangerous for
yes.
older people. So there are a lot of reasons why, physical reasons, that Medicare policy is so short-sighted, because they're going to end up paying the bills for these other things down the line.
Exactly. Again, you've anticipated my questions, and I love it. It's wonderful. But there's one we haven't touched on that I wanted to ask you about. It seems that, as we have discussed, but certainly as I wrongfully assumed earlier in my life, career, whatever, hearing loss has changed its demographic, if you will. Younger people, more and more the trend is that younger people are losing their hearing. Is that, first of all, is that your experience? Is that, I mean, you started to lose your hearing in your 30s, but we're really talking about people half that age, yes?
The NIDCD, which is part of the NIH affiliated with hearing studies, has found that 20% of teenagers have some degree of hearing loss.
Oh.
And that is noise exposure and, you know, putting earbuds in your ear and having those, your, you know, your iPod or whatever you're listening to up way too loud. It also has to do with the kind of venues where younger people hang out, sports stadiums, you know, clubs, things like that. I would say, however, that younger people 100 years ago probably were losing their hearing at the same rate. But the reasons were that, first of all, there were a lot of diseases that caused hearing loss that we can now treat. We treat as childhood diseases. Measles, mumps, both cause hearing loss. And also because, you know, in those days, young people went to work in factories. They worked on the streets of the cities were incredibly noisy. And so they were also suffering from noise-related hearing loss in their teens and 20s. But we shouldn't be doing that anymore. We cured those diseases, and, you know, we've controlled them anyway. And, you know, and we understand why. So the fact that, you know, this is, there's no improvement here over a long period of time says something about our awareness of our hearing or our lack of awareness of our hearing.
You know, we also think of our different body parts, if you will, and the functions of the brain are all sort of separate and independent of one another. But in fact, the mind and body are really one masterful working machine until we gunk it up with something. Let's talk a little more about the how does hearing loss affect the brain? And conversely, how does the way the brain works affect our hearing? What's the connection?
Yes. And in fact, that's how I can hear with a cochlear implant, because my cochlear implant bypasses my entire hearing apparatus and sends signals directly to my brain, to the sensory pathways in my brain that are dedicated to language understanding. So what happens when you get a signal from the outside through your outer ear into your middle ear and inner ear and then sent up to your brain is that your brain is taking that sound and translating it into something that means something logical, means what it's supposed to mean. It's very important to understand this because it's, I think it's a key to why it's important to treat hearing loss, even at, in an early stage, and if not with hearing aids, with something else, like a PSAP.
Yes.
What happens is that if you're not using those parts of the brain to hear, if you're basically not exercising, you know, the speech pathways of your brain and one frequency or one area or another, they get taken over by other functions. Your vision will tend to stray into that area, or your sense of touch will get stronger. We all know that about people who lose one sense often have increases in their other senses. So this works on not on this noticeable level, but it does work. And what it means is that, you know, when you decide finally 20 years later that it's time to get hearing aids, your speech pathways have not been exercised very much in the past 20 years, and it is much, much harder for them to relearn how to hear. So if you treat it early, you are keeping your brain active, you're keeping those speech pathways active, and you are also at the same time helping to offset cognitive decline, which I think is something many of us are very, very worried about.
Yes. With dementia, both my parents suffered from Alzheimer's, and believe me, I've learned that the connection to all of it is connected to hearing, all of the senses and the brain. And it, we need to appreciate the whole body and mind and brain and be more responsive.
I heard the other day that 90% of patients with Alzheimer's and other kinds of dementia also have hearing loss.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's not clear how they affect each other, but it's a striking statistic.
Well, Catherine Boughton, who is a very popular blogger for the AARP Hearing Center, who has written books like Shouting Won't Help, and it never does, Living Better with Hearing Loss. Tell us, your new book, Living Better with Hearing Loss, is an e-book, paperback, and coming out when? And how do we get a hold of it?
I'm sorry?
How do we get a hold of your new book?
Oh, how do you get a hold of it? Well, you can go on any of your favorite websites, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can go to an independent bookstore and order either the paperback version. You can order the e-book through a store. You can get the book through your library. But you can't get it till June 9th. That's the day it's being published. In the meantime, you could go back and read my blog posts, which are a little bit kind of similar in tone, although I've tried not to repeat the information in them. But it'll be out June 9th. I have a website, katherinebelton.com, where you can find out places I'm appearing. You can also find out how to get in touch with me if you want to talk about your hearing loss. I'm always happy to answer people's questions. And this is great. I really love being able to be encouraging about treating hearing loss and to be urge people to be cautious about taking care of their hearing before they damage it. So.
Absolutely. Catherine, before we go, give us your website one more time, a little slower, please.
My personal website, which will also lead you to my AARP blog, is my name, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, Catherine Boughton, B as in boy, O-U-T-O-N, all run together, .com.
Yes. And AARP Hearing Center is where you blog.
Yes, well, I do blog on KatherineBoughton.com, too. It's the AARP Hearing Resources Center, and they have a lot of resources available besides my blog, so it's a good thing to look at.
Yes.
I also always like to put in a plug for the Hearing Loss Association of America, which I am involved with, which has made an enormous difference in my life and allowing me to meet a lot of other people with hearing loss and to understand my own hearing loss better. They're also a very, very powerful advocacy group for people with hearing loss. And so I would like to put in a plug for them, HLAA.
HLAA, okay.
Hearing Loss Association of America.
Very good.
And again, I'm happy to answer, questions by email if anyone has any.
Okay. Your email is on your website. We can contact you.
It's on my KatherineBelton.com website.
Fantastic.
Maybe on AARP, too. I'm not sure.
How did you, just quickly, we don't have much time left, but how did you connect with AARP, Hearing Resources Center?
Last January 2014, the Institute of Medicine in Washington held a conference on healthy aging and hearing loss. Mm-hmm. And they brought together a lot of experts from around the country, clinicians, hearing loss providers, and one of the people who was there who spoke was Charlotte Ye, who is medical director of AARP.
Yes, she's been on the show.
And I also spoke, and we talked afterwards and realized we had a lot of interests in common. So AARP has put a lot of effort into their Hearing Resources Center.
Well, I tell you, it's great. She's been on the show. I'm glad to have had you on. It's tremendous for all of us to know that there is support, there is information, there is education. I think now we need to get behind AARP, and we need to all push the government to do something about Medicare covering the costs of hearing loss. I think that's one of our big messages today. And, of course, take care of your hearing. No matter what your age, it's never too young to be careful about your health physically and mentally. And Catherine, is there any last parting words you want to give us?
I agree completely, and I'd also say you're never too old to get hearing aids.
Excellent point. Thank you. As a matter of fact, I do have a doctor's appointment coming up in early June. I think I'll mention, let's check my hearing. I haven't, that wasn't the plan, but it is now. Thank you so much, Catherine Boughton, who, as we've said already, is a principal popular blogger for the AARP Hearing Resource Center and a guest speaker available, an advocate and leading American advocate for people with hearing loss, available through her website, through AARP, through her blogs, and, of course, her books, the latest coming out on June 9th, Living Better with Hearing Loss. And remember, it never helps to shout. Shouting Won't Help is an earlier book of hers. Thank you so much, Catherine, for being on the show, and I wish you all the very best.
Thank you very much for taking this issue so seriously. It's great.
Thank you. Bye now.
Okay, thank you.
Stay with us, as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Today's film has a brilliant cast that includes some of the finest actors of our time. Philip Seymour Hoffman, Albert Finney, Ethan Hawke, and Marissa Tomei. In Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, Hoffman plays an addicted antagonist living beyond his means. His excesses lead him into a desperate plot with his brother for robbing the local jewelry store. They know the store well. They've grown up there. It's their family's store. There will be no guns, and their parents don't work on Saturday. What could go wrong? Immersing ourselves in the work of so many master craftsmen is always rewarding. Heading them up is 81-year-old veteran director Sidney Lumet, who just the year before had received Oscar's Lifetime Achievement Award. He was widely respected for his energy and his realistic, intricate, and intense storytelling. Who could forget such films as The Verdict, 12 Angry Men, Failsafe, Dog Day Afternoon, or Network? Before the Devil Knows You're Dead would turn out to be Lumet's swan song. He died at age 86 in 2011. This was his last film and surely one of his finest films, a triumphant crown on a very rich career. Indie Film Minute. Not in theaters. Discovery through rentals.
Hello, I'm Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice. Thanking you for joining us in becoming one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Death of a Nation. On Memorial Day, we remember those who made the greatest sacrifice, but seldom acknowledge those who didn't, returning from battlefields, brain damaged or missing limbs, to families changed forever. On Veterans Day, we wave our flags and parade in shrinking uniforms, celebrating those too often forgotten into When Johnny Comes Marching Home, to homelessness, underemployment, and VA neglect. On December 7th and September 11th, we remember sneak attacks but ignore our use of nuclear bombs. Bells ringing, we weep silently but praise preemptive invasion into a nation with no 9/11 connection because the world is a better place without its tyrannical leader, while failing to indict our own. Whether passing, loss, passed away, gone home, transference, moving on, crossed over, assumption, or ascension, some rise above death, while others crumble under the debris of denying the truth about death's war toll on the living. The few good wars, the American Revolution, 1812, Civil War, World War II, a maimed veteran can count on one remaining hand. Still, we praise leaders who systematically launch Americans off to fight for their country while counting the rewards of sacrificing our youth on the ensconced altar of corporatism. Truth decay is at its most devastating when denied the drill of eyes wide open to being cast as pawns in the chess games of the obscure. Sadly, the tragically tarnished, so proud of family members dying for their country, are consistent customers and constituents of the very puppeteers who profit most from wars, dead or alive. It's not national pride that is the enemy, but rather those who manipulate the Constitution to misdirect the valor of proud patriots, until, like tattered old glory with faded colors, they become a forgotten symbol, denied truth with each deposit of war's perpetual blood, sweat, and tears. Most often, death is not quick to diminish our memories, fracture our relationships, or darken our doorstep, for death is not the instrument of destruction. That would be man's infernal grab for power, breeding insatiable need for more.
As for the suits on the street, tugging at five-sided foggy bottom and congressional bottom feeders, it's the thrill of rats racing to turn race against race, against being united, against peace. All for the high risk of risking others, they take another spin at the wheel of too big to jail. Death, like new life, comes with a tide of rigged oil spills erupting across land and sea like volcanic lava, coal ash, and tornadoes reshaping life and land. Death can be the pot of gold at the end of the middle-class rainbow for the wealthiest we built that. Death is the end-of-day last call of too many Americans ignored. Medicare refusing to cover cost of hearing loss. Congress keeping comparatively limited funding for Alzheimer's research at previous levels and proud that they didn't sequester it. Is it not more honorable to honor our dead by protecting Social Security for spousal survivors, finding a cure for those living maimed by war and underfunded NIH research? If a mind is a terrible thing to waste, then aren't the lives of veterans, firefighters, climate change scientists, military gays, and doctors defending a woman's right to choose? And how about unarmed minorities dying by police for sitting in their cars, making eye contact, playing with toy guns in the park, or bicycling while black? Death comes to America when patriotic phonies use religion to convince we the people that flag-waving is enough, while in some neighborhoods gun salutes mean mass incarcerations and unprosecuted murder of children in city parks and on public streets, to protect the wealthy few from losing their international power over our nation. Join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Thank you.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of the Reasonable Voice. Website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I'm Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.